At least 500 doctors have been disciplined or barred from practicing in one state and still allowed to practice in another, and their patients often don't know about it. That's according to a new investigation from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and MedPage Today. John Fauber is with us now. He's an investigative medical reporter for the Journal Sentinel and MedPage Today. John, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, I would assume, John, that, hey, if a doctor is disciplined somewhere in the country, that will follow that doctor even if they move around the country and as they apply for licenses elsewhere. It sounds like, am wrong. Tell us about that.
That's the case in many instances. So we took this long look at the process of disciplining doctors across states, and we found that it's often that doctors will get some kind of discipline in one state and may hold a license in another state or may seek a license in another state after they get investigated, and that there are times, and we found at least 500 instances, where that is not the case, that the doctor may be in a new state practicing and there is no sanction or action taken against his license. His patients there would be completely in the dark about his troubled history if they were to go to say, for instance, the website of the state medical board and where they live. They might see nothing that would suggest any kind of problem.
Can you talk about licensing in the United States? There's not one overarching national organization, is there?
Right. It's left up to the states completely. There's, I think it's 64 licensing boards for doctors in the country, state licensing boards. Some states have two because they have a different board for osteopaths than they do for MDs. But it's pretty much just the province of the states. They issue licenses and they issue discipline.
And what you found in this investigation is state boards don't necessarily share information with one another or even seek out that information.
Right. So state boards do a fairly good job of putting their own discipline up on their websites and acting. You know, when something comes to their attention, they can often take action against a doctor in their state. But that doesn't always follow the doctor to another state. So a doctor may get a suspension in one state and let's say for 3 years or something, and be able to just automatically move to another state or take his practice to another state and have no restrictions on his practice in the other state. It just depends on how vigilant the individual states are in following the troubled backgrounds of doctors who they license.
How did you and your colleagues start to track this information, given that it's not always readily available or widely shared?
It's very hard to do. There is a national data bank that's essentially run by the federal government. But it's secret. It's not available to patients or consumers. So we couldn't use that. There are a few private firms that do this kind of research. We went to one that I had known from the past. The name of the company is TruthMD. And they actually have a for-profit service where they gather information about doctors. Everything from, you know, there's literally thousands of county courts in the country that may have malpractice cases. They go to, you know, district attorneys and court systems for, you know, criminal cases. They get information from the FDA and the U.S. Drug Administration, from state medical boards. And we went to them and they compiled we kind of explained what we were looking for, and they compiled an initial list of doctors who might fit that description of someone who had an action taken against them in one state that was not followed up and reciprocated in another state. And so they gave us this initial list, which was, I forgot the numbers, I think it was over 1,000. We had to go through that, each one, and sort of winnow it down and check to see and make sure, confirm the cases and make sure they fit what we were looking for. And eventually we found about, I think it was 517 doctors who had fit that sort of description.
We're talking to John Fauber from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and MedPage today about an investigation he worked on, finding that some doctors around the country might have lost the right to practice in one state, but still kept it or obtained it in another state. John, a lot of doctors may have faced a malpractice suit one time or another, but you found in some of these cases people had been barred from practicing or doing certain kinds of procedures for pretty serious reasons. Can you talk about some of the most, egregious cases you came across?
Sure. One of the things that happens sometimes when a doctor gets in trouble in a state is that the state board may take some action, and eventually they come to an agreement where the doctor volunteers to give up his license there. He essentially surrenders it or lets it expire in exchange for the state not actually taking it away from him or her. And so me and my colleagues, and that's I want to give a little shout out to Matt Wynn and Christina Fiore from MedPage Today. They both worked on this story with me. So what happens is that a doctor may essentially give up his or her right to practice in one state, and that is not then followed up on in other states where they also hold licenses. One of the individuals that we looked at was a doctor in Colorado who had agreed to give up his license, let it expire, and was told that he could never reapply or get it back after the a complaint was made about his care of a patient with multiple sclerosis who died. This doctor also had a license in Florida, so he essentially was barred from ever practicing in Colorado, but because Florida did not do anything to restrict him, he was able to continue practicing in Florida with no restrictions on his license.
And there were concerns that he had caused trouble in Florida, too, right, with faulty diagnoses of multiple sclerosis there?
Right. Right. So after he gave up his right to forever practice in Colorado because of this patient who, you know, that came about because of this patient who died. This was a patient who he had put on a very dangerous drug and developed a brain infection that can occur with that drug, and he failed to. The allegation was that he had failed to diagnose it in a prompt manner, and so. But after that. Investigation and that the fact that he and the Board of Medicine in Colorado decided that he would, you know, let his license expire and never reapply for it. He ended up getting sued by seven patients, five in Colorado and two in Florida, who alleged that he had misdiagnosed them with having multiple sclerosis and put them on dangerous drugs. One of those cases was dismissed, but the other ones are still pending in the courts.
You also talked to John in this investigation to some patient advocacy groups. What are they saying about the situation? What kind of changes are they hoping for?
Well, a lot of people are hoping that this federally run database called the National Practitioner Data Bank, which was actually created 30 years ago, back in an era when things were much different. There wasn't, you know, big data and transparency wasn't such a big issue back then. They're hoping that this is something that will eventually become a publicly available database. In other words, people can go to this data bank, not just hospitals or insurance companies or whatever, look up their doctor and find out how many times he's been sued for malpractice or has settled malpractice cases, or if he's had disciplinary actions taken against him in other states, or if he's been arrested for drunk driving, or even if he, you know, hasn't kept his license up to date by taking continuing medical education courses, and whatever the case may be, that whatever is in that data bank that now is only available to, you know, select parties like hospitals and insurance companies and state medical boards. That would be available to the public, and they feel that this is the time has come for that to happen. Some of them point out that this is really it's really much worse than what we found in our story. That you know, we found these 500 cases, but there are so many other cases where that never get reported, or just get, you know, there's a lawsuit filed or something, and nothing ever comes of it. And that this is really a much bigger problem than even what we found in our story.
And John, you profiled the story of one doctor now practicing in Wisconsin despite a past suspension in New York. Can you talk a little bit about that story?
Yeah. This is a doctor who was found to have engaged. He's a plastic surgeon, and he engaged in, and it was found he had a practice in New York, and he was found to have engaged in a sexual relationship with one of his patients. A complaint was filed with the medical board in New York, and he had his license suspended for 3 years. That was stayed, and he was put on probation and ordered that for the rest of his time that he ever practiced in New York, that he would have to have a chaperone present whenever he was with a female patient. He was hired when the investigation started, and then he was later hired by the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine. I think it was in 2011. This is before the probation and the suspension was issued. But while he was there, the medical board in New York came down with their disciplinary action, and then that sort of triggered a potential action in Wisconsin. In other words, the medical board in Wisconsin found out about this, the university found out about this, and the medical board had to decide whether they were going to do something like that, like, for instance, suspend him or issue any kind of sanction or requirement, they did not. They viewed this. Well, the New York Medical Board said that the doctor had shown a moral unfitness to practice. The medical board in Wisconsin said they thought this was a minor issue, and it was not a concern to the public.
And John, briefly, as we wrap up, is there a next step in this investigation for you?
Yes, we've got more stories planned. Fairly soon we'll be coming out with another installment. I think we'll probably be rolling out these stories over the course of the coming weeks and months. But yes, we have more to come.
And do you get a sense that medical boards around the country are interested in changing things?
I don't know. I think one of the criticisms is that they are sort of these insular organizations that are run by, largely by doctors. They're often political appointments, that they can be somewhat bureaucratic at times. And this has been a concern for many years, for actually decades, and things that really haven't changed that much. So, I think there are people who work at medical boards who really do want to see some changes, but the fact that it hasn't happened and that it's been a problem for so many years makes some people wonder, if anything is going to happen again or in the near future.
John, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having me.
That's John Fauber, investigative medical reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and MedPage Today, talking about doctors barred from practicing in one state and how they're often allowed to keep practicing in another.